welcome to Comic Talk Today for Wednesday, December 19th, 2018. Can you believe the year is almost over? It's crazy. This year has kind of flown by. It started off kind of slow, but man, the last couple of months have been crazy. Anyways, in today's episode, I want to talk about some news and I want to talk about some couple tangential things. So I got to see Aquaman this past weekend, and I know a friend of the show, Aaron Bell, over at the Absolute DC podcast has also seen it. You have to have an Amazon Prime account to get tickets. He and I agree, the movie is fantastic. So when it opens this weekend, I recommend you go check that out. It is a fantastic film, and I hope all of you will enjoy it. I also wanted to chime in on the Elseworlds CW event. And I believe I'm going to be doing an episode with Joey and maybe Ronnie and, I don't know, maybe somebody else would want to join. And we're going to talk about this crossover event. But I want to give some highlights because I briefly talked about this last night as I was recording the Nerdy Legion podcast with my buddy Nick Wetmore. And I think I sold him on it. So I wanted to take some time and sell it to you listening to this show because I think it is very much worth watching. Unlike previous years, it's only 3 episodes, and I think that made it for a much tighter story. It really flowed very well. The interconnectedness of all 3 episodes, I thought, was much better done than previously. The addition of Superman was really nice, especially because of Lois Lane. And I gotta tell you, I just absolutely fell in love. I can't remember the name of the actress that played Lois Lane in the crossover, but she is brilliant. It's the same actress that played the love interest in the show Grimm. I think Grimm ended, I want to say, 2 years ago. Fantastic show, too. I recommend you watch that. But she was incredible as Lois Lane, and I thought the event as a whole was really fantastic. Seeing the type of things that the CW can manage to pull off on their shows with the tight budget that they have on these shows is really incredible. And I think it really showed on this particular year's crossover event. And I don't think it's a spoiler, but, you know, spoiler alert, next year's event is going to be Crisis on Infinite Earths. And I talked about it on one of last week's episodes a little bit. I really recommend you check this out. It's only 3 episodes. It's 1 episode of Flash, 1 of Arrow, 1 of Supergirl, and it is really, really brilliant. It is, I think, by far one of my favorite comic book things that I've seen pulled off on TV in quite a while, and that says a lot. Because, I don't know, man, like, I'm at a point where I feel like some of the CW shows can drag a little bit. I think Flash has gotten better this season, but Arrow still has a couple of issues. And I'm not caught up with the shows, so maybe they've gotten better since the couple of episodes that I saw at the beginning of the season. But man, this thing was incredible. And it is self-contained, and I know that there are folks out there that don't want to watch Supergirl. Do yourself a favor, watch this episode of Supergirl. It is fantastic. And I gotta say, it was jam-packed full of Easter eggs. If you are a comic book fan, and I assume you are if you listen to the show, then you better get your dang notepad ready, because you're going to find at least a half a dozen in each episode. In part 2, when the crew goes to Gotham City and meets up with Batwoman, you will probably fill an entire notebook full of spoilers, or not spoilers, Easter eggs. It was really fantastic, really fantastic. As a comic book fan, the level of fan service that was performed in this particular event is bar none the best thing that I've seen out of the CW. So definitely check out the Elseworlds stuff. I hope that Ronnie and Aaron will talk about it on their show. But if not, we'll be doing an episode, hopefully for next week, on this podcast. All right, that's the couple of things that I want to get out of the way. I do want to talk about some really exciting news. I'll kick off talking about one, and I will end talking about one. And the one that has me very excited is the announcement of the creative team for Detective Comics number 1000. God, I cannot wait for this. As you guys know, I've been reading Batman for a very long time. It's one of the few print books that I still get, Batman and Detective, and some of the other Batman family stuff. But I'm very excited for Detective 1000. I know that Action 1000 was a big thing, partially because of Bendis coming on to the series, but also many other reasons. I mean, you know, Action Comics is one of the first DC titles to come out, so of course it's quite a milestone. But for me, I'm more of a Batman guy, so Detective has me very excited. This is a culmination of, I mean, what will this be now? 80 years that this book has been coming out. It came out in 1939 is when we first saw Batman. Of course, the book was out before then. Batman came out in Detective 27. But March 27, 2019 is the date for Detective Comics 1000. I kind of joked on a tweet today that I'll have to start saving up for the 1,000 different variant covers. I'm not sure if that's going to be the case, but I'm sure we're going to see quite a few. The variant covers that were announced is Steve Rude, Mike Cho, Jim Steranko, Bernie Wrightson, Frank Miller, Tim Sale, Jock, Greg Capullo, and Bruce Timm. And there's also a wraparound cover by Jim Lee. That's the image that's kind of been floating around. I believe the Mike Cho cover has also been shown. It's kind of like a throwback, retro-ish type cover. But the wraparound is Jim Lee, Scott Williams, and Alex Sinclair. And it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to see. So I can't wait for this. Creative team is going to include Kevin Smith and Jim Lee, Brian Michael Bendis and Alex Maleev, Warren Ellis and Becky Cloonan. I'm excited for that one. That one sounds awesome. Paul Dini and Dustin Nguyen, Denny O'Neill and Steve Epting doing a sequel to There's No Hope in Crime Alley, which is a detective comic story from 1976. Quite good. Recommend you check that out. Christopher Priest and Neil Adams, Jeff Johns and Kelly Jones. That's interesting. Tom King, Tony Daniel and Joel Jones, Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo, and James Tynion IV and Alvaro Martinez. So a lot of folks here that have become known for working together, I would say, in various books. So very cool that they've announced this stuff, and I'm very excited. I mean, this is only, what, 3.5 months until Detective 1000. New creative teams just jumped onto the book, so that's also exciting, and I cannot wait for this one. Look for it, March 27, 2019. Bordertown. Let's talk about this real quick. Bordertown is a book that I was excited about, and I know that there are folks that don't like this book for particular reasons, mostly political reasons. Totally understand that. If you are one of those people, by all means, skip the next 2 minutes, because I'm going to keep this very short. I thought that Bordertown itself was quite a good book. Not just the storyline, but the creative direction of the book, the artistic direction of the book. I thought it was really fantastic. In fact, I believe I recommended the first issue. I think I talked about it on one of the Top of the Pile episodes. So over the last couple of weeks, there's been some news surfacing about sexual abuse allegations towards the writer of the book. And I'm not going to go deep into that stuff. It is important, but it's kind of not the type of thing that I talk about on the show. So I do recommend you go and check out the cancellation announcement for Bordertown, because as of this past week, DC Vertigo has decided to cancel the book as a result of the allegations. And things are really, really complicated. It all started off with a blog post by the accuser. And I was quite intrigued by the story because, you know, it's just a blog post, but it was, I think, very well-told story and really explained what she felt about the whole situation and how she felt he was handling things. And you know, he was kind of quiet. He shut off all the social media. His Twitter account became private. And I know I talked to a couple of folks about this privately. I'm not going to mention names because I don't know if they want to be mentioned by name. But I had some really interesting discussions with people. I also tweeted about this, I believe, sometime last week. And I didn't mention any names, but the tweet said something to the effect of, if you find out that the writer or artist of a book that you really love is a garbage person, will you continue supporting the book? And I got all kinds of various answers, from a simple yes all the way to a simple no, and every variation in between. The majority of the people apparently were more on the no side, that they would not be supporting this book. A few people said that they would support it, but it really would depend on what the allegations were. Some people said that they didn't care what it was, as long as the book was great, that's what they cared about. And I think it's really interesting, the types of viewpoints that we have on these kind of things. The reason I tweeted out that tweet was because I was kind of curious as to what I wanted to do. And I mean, you know, the choice is kind of made for me now. Bordertown 5 and 6 were canceled, so all that will be made available is issues 1 through 4, and those are being made fully returnable by the publisher in case people just don't care to support it for, you know, ethical reasons. And I thought about long and hard about this based on the types of comments that I was receiving from folks, and I think where I ended up landing is I have no qualms about having purchased these and having read them and having really enjoyed them. In fact, had these things not come out, I would have continued purchasing the book. But, you know, now that they have and the book's gone, that choice is kind of taken away from me. But the thing is, you know, I had already bought the books and I had already enjoyed them. So there's no reason for me to go and return them to my shop, you know, or if I were a shop, return them back to the publisher because I really did enjoy them. And, this is kind of a thing that we, I think, have to struggle with all kinds of media as different allegations come out against different folks. And you know, what I've come up with is basically if something has already been out and you've already supported it and you enjoy it, there is no reason for you to not continue to enjoy it. Okay. And you know, I can think of a few movies that have this kind of stigma to them, for example, because they're classic films and I've enjoyed them for such a long time. And you know, much later after the films are made, you find out about, you know, child abuse or sexual abuse or rape or anything like that. And sure, it does make them a crappy person, and it means that I will not support that person on future projects. But the projects that they've already come out with are already done. And the thing is, too, that there's a lot of other people impacted on these projects aside from just that one person. And, you know, I know the artist for Border Town and the colorist and some of the other creative crew had posted both on Twitter or their blogs about what they felt about this whole thing and how they wanted to proceed. I think their intentions were very clear, and they kind of didn't want to work on these books anymore as a result of the allegations. And that's fine, but it's great that they can do that kind of thing, right? Oftentimes we'll see something like, I mean, we'll just keep going with movies because there's, you know, oftentimes hundreds of people involved in creating film. You know, you shouldn't kind of castigate, let's say, the cameraman because, you know, the main actor of the film is whatever. We'll just say like a child abuser. The thing is done. It's been created. It put many people to work and now it's out in the open. The book is out. The movie's out, whatever. You want to support it, support it. Once, you know, you find out all this stuff happened and you feel like, I no longer want to support it. Sure. That's fine. But by this point, you've already kind of become involved in this world that's being created, right? And, you know, we as comic fans, I think, often forget the number of people involved in a book. Many people don't even think about, you know, anybody involved in the book. They're just like, DC put this out, or Marvel put this out, or Image, or Valiant, or whatever. Aftershock, Line Forge, any other publisher. And that's all I really care about. I just care about books being good. And I think that's probably one of the best attitudes, right? Always purchase the best books. But, you know, it's tough sometimes trying to figure out what's going to happen. The book is canceled. I know there's some legal action that's about to be taken in this whole situation. So it's about to get pretty interesting. And, I don't really want to talk about that. But, after all this stuff, the writer has issued a kind of apology. And, I don't know if it's a real apology. And that seems to be kind of another issue entirely. But, yeah, I wanted to bring up Border Town. I know a couple of folks that I'm friends with that really, really loved this book and had some serious ethical qualms about this whole thing. So, you know, I was getting messages daily, basically, for any updates. And that's basically the update now. The book is canceled, so you don't need to worry about purchasing any future issues. I think the biggest news of this week so far, and I mean, the week's young, it's Tuesday, so, you know, I'm sure there's going to be some bigger news. There's been, you know, solicitations and stuff about stuff coming out in March already. I know that Diamond's been talking about publishers changing the day that they release solicitations. That's not the big news. The fact that Cyclops is coming back from the dead is not big news. See what I did there? I threw in a bit of news without actually talking about it. I think the biggest news this week is that DC Universe will stream new DC animated movies on release date starting very soon, actually. Very, very soon. When Reign of the Superman comes out, a movie which I'm very excited for, comes out January 13th, 2019, it will be released directly into DC Universe. And that does not mean it will not be available elsewhere. So if you're not a DC Universe fan, or a subscriber, I guess would be a better way to put it, you're not going to miss out on these. You'll still be able to rent them or buy them wherever. But if you are part of DC Universe, and I know that many folks listen to this are, then you'll be able to see these for free day of release. And I think that is not only a big, big set of news for this week, maybe one of the bigger pieces of news for the last couple of months, but I think really a game changer for the future of these kind of services. Because we know that Disney Plus is coming out sometime in late 2019. There's no official date yet. And I've talked about the types of shows that are on there that really don't have me very excited, right? The two Marvel shows that were announced. Don't really care too much about. It was Loki Scarlet Witch and then Falcon Winter Soldier, if I'm not mistaken. Now that the Winter Soldier book is out, I'm actually maybe a little more interested in that Falcon Winter Soldier. But I don't know if it's a seller for me yet. Partially because there's no comics on there, right? So I would still need Marvel Unlimited. Whereas DC Unlimited, or DC Universe, even though there are comics, I don't read a lot of comics on that service. I'll be perfectly frank. In fact, basically, as of the last couple of weeks at least, all I do on the service is watch Titans when it comes out. And while I threw that in there, I will say I feel like Titans is a good enough show to have people subscribe to it just for that. And the final episode comes out this week. I know that there's a teaser floating around. I kind of chided, I guess we can say, somebody because I got a direct message with a link to the trailer, and I was like, nope, not watching the trailer because I don't want to get spoiled. And that led to a whole conversation about why I don't want to watch the trailer, and I don't want to go into the extent of the conversation, but it was pretty interesting. It might be a topic that I bring up at some point, and we'll just do a whole episode on it. So the final episode comes out this week, and I think what's cool is because it is the Christmas season, DC is running a special. So you can actually get, I believe it's 3 months for $3.95, or you can get a year for $59.95. And I think that's actually a fantastic deal. It might actually even be a better deal than the one that they gave folks when they were doing this thing in beta, right? I can't remember what it was. I mean, I can probably pull up my receipt. But I'm pretty sure it was maybe cheaper than that. Maybe it was that same price. I don't know. $59.95, that sounds probably about right. So that's like, that ends up being, what is that, like $5 a month? That's a pretty damn good deal, $5 a month. So at that price, I recommend you do it. And if you're not sure, then just go ahead and do the 3 months for the $3.95 or $5.95. I can't remember what it was exactly. And sign up for that and binge watch the season of Titans, because I guarantee you that you'll be enticed to continue doing the service. I think it is well, well worth it. And the comics do help, of course. But what's lacking right now is the lack of original content. And I did see an article about the Disney Plus service saying that the majority of it is going to be not original content. And I think that's a mistake, in particular having to wait basically another year before the service launches to not have original content is a mistake. And I think DC understands that. I know in their latest DC Daily episode, you can check that out. I think it's episode 66. They put them on YouTube, and then you can also watch them on DC Unlimited. It's got a great interview with John Barrowman, but it's also got some basic facts about DC Unlimited. And there's been, like, I don't know what they said, like 3 million comics read since the service launched a couple of months ago. The most watched movie/TV show is Titans, second one being Young Justice season 1 and 2. Of course, the new season of Young Justice is coming up on the service pretty soon, in a couple of weeks, so that's very exciting. So a lot of little facts in there that I thought were pretty interesting. But there's still not a lot of content, you know what I mean? I mean, the service is still young. So I think if you're looking at the overall experience, then even right now at the price that you pay for it, if you want to do monthly, it's $7.99. I think even at that price, it's still worth it if you are doing comics and Titans and whatever else. For myself, I don't read a lot of the comics because I own a lot of these comics already. And so my main motivation for being part of the service is the original content. And right now the only one is Titans. Pretty soon we'll have Young Justice. We'll have Doom Patrol also coming up, I believe in like 2 months. And then, you know, there's a schedule for the rest of the shows. I think Swamp Thing is halfway through the year, Harley Quinn towards the end. So lots of good stuff coming, but they need more, right? Because you cannot survive as a streaming service on just like 6 or 7 shows. You have to have a multitude of stuff. And I look at services like the CW, for example, or networks, I guess you could say, like the CW, where they have their TV presence, right? And a lot of people watch it that way. But what's really interesting is the post-release deals. So basically when the last episode of a season comes out, within a week it's on Netflix, the entire season. That's a fantastic idea. And DC Unlimited should do that. I don't know how long the CW Netflix deal is, but whenever that runs out, I would think it would be a great idea for DC Unlimited to actually bring in those CW shows into this. Even though it's technically not the same universe as any of the other stuff that they're doing, I don't think it should matter because the fans don't really care. The fans just want to consume the stuff. Another cool thing that DC Unlimited or CW does is their app, which is completely free. It is ad supported, but it is free. And so you can watch any of their shows at any point, and there are a ton of them. And it used to not be that way, right? But CW has kind of carved a niche within a particular demographic. And then there's offshoot shows that come off of those niches that kind of end up being either hitting different demographics within that original one, or some that are kind of wide-ranging enough to bring in a completely different audience, right? So, of course, a lot of the shows, I mean, this is kind of a joke thing going around, right? Like, if you're in a CW show, you're like, you're a beautiful person. If you're in a CW show, you're basically on a show that's kind of like a soap opera in a way. In fact, my wife always makes fun of me when I watch these shows because she's like, oh, you're watching your soaps. And I always tell her, F yeah, I do. Because really, just think about it. Comics are kind of like a soapbox, right? So, I mean, that's nothing to be ashamed of. Maybe not so much now, but they used to be a lot more soapy than they are now. But I love that kind of thing. I love those relationships, how they characters interact with each other. It's not just about, you know, fighting a villain and taking him down. It's about the relationships between characters and how, you know, normal people see these superheroes and how superheroes act with each other, react towards each other. It is very much like a soap opera. But anyways, I would love to see DC Unlimited do a little bit more of this. And I think having these movies come in on the service day of release is absolutely brilliant. We've got Reign of the Superman, and there's another one coming out pretty soon after. I want to say maybe like a month or two after that. There's going to be quite a few coming in next year. There's Justice League versus the Fatal Five. There's Batman Hush, which that'll be interesting. And Wonder Woman Bloodlines. So, you know, there's going to be plenty of stuff coming in, and it doesn't have to be just original shows. The original movies do make a lot of sense. And I would love to see them bring in more of those original shows and movies once some of these other distribution deals run out. And I think that's kind of a problem that Disney's going to run into. And I think they're kind of, the way that they're discussing it, feels like they know they can't get around these deals. This is Disney, by the way, not that DC. And they just have to kind of deal with those deals. So, you know, in the article that I read about the Disney Plus service says something to the effect of like, well, you know, we don't really care if something's a streaming service original, right? Like some shows will be on Hulu, some on this channel or that network, some on Netflix. Well, maybe not on Netflix because those shows are all canceled. And, you know, some online, some on network TV, some streaming originals. And I think that's an interesting way to look at it, but maybe not the best, because it doesn't give anyone motivation to get into your service, right? And you don't need a giant window, right? DC could do these animated films with a 6-week window exclusive to DC Universe, and that'll be enough for most people to want to sign up for the service just to catch these movies while they're still fresh. And maybe eventually they'll go ahead and buy them. And there will, of course, be some people that don't want to do this, and they'll just wait until it's available for purchase. I will be one of the idiots that will, I mean, I already pay for the service, so maybe I'm not an idiot, but I will definitely want to watch these the day that they come out, or the week that they come out, on DC Unlimited. And then when they're available for purchase in a few weeks, I'll go ahead and purchase those as well. There are ways to do these kind of things where you can make money on them and be a business, but also appeal to your fans, because without having fans, these services will not last. And we already are kind of in a saturation point, right? I mean, there's more and more popping up all the time. I watch stuff on my Fire Stick quite a bit, and the number of channels on that thing is just crazy. But a lot of them are very niche, and that's kind of where you shine, right? So I do Shudder because I'm a horror movie fan, and there's a lot of terrible movies on Shudder. But you know, it's $4.99, and I love horror movies, and the thing about me is I love really bad horror movies too, so for me it's perfect. But you know, there's like True Crime Networks or whatever, like I'm sure there's like an Indian Conspiracy one, like there's always like these little niche things that you can put in. And then you can also subscribe to bigger networks like HBO or Cinemax or whatever. But you know, we're kind of at a saturation point, and I think the only way for some of these services to survive, including DC Universe, is to really appeal to the niche and make it well worth their while having a very low cost. And I think the cost of DC Universe is low enough but maybe not low enough for the majority of people. Although, I mean, if you take a look at it, and I've talked about this before, and I played around with the idea of doing like Patreon for this show, for example, you know, is you listening to this show but worth like $1 a month to you? I'm not pitching you a Patreon, so don't freak out. But is it worth it to you? I mean, to me, I subscribe to, I don't know, 80 podcasts. I would pay $1 a month for the majority of them. I mean, the problem is that I'm spending $80 a month on podcasts, but you know, there's a few that I would definitely have no problem paying for. And there are actually are a couple that I do have a Patreon for. And it's kind of the same for these services, right? Because they are very niche shows, and including these podcasts that I'm talking about. And I want them to continue because I can't find other similar content with the level of quality as these particular shows. And so, of course, I want to pitch in $1 or $2. If I can do more, I'll do more. If not, whatever, you know. But there, I think there's always going to be a place for this. And I think DC is in a really good spot. If we're not getting Disney Plus for another year, I think the level of content that DC is going to have available on their service by the time Disney Plus comes out, it's going to set it far enough apart where you have to like really be a genuine Marvel fan to want to get in on that. And, you know, there's plenty of those people out there as well. But I think DC has really done it right by appealing to comic fans, and I can't wait for more. So this announcement of having the animated film show up on the service day of release is just absolutely brilliant. Kudos to you, DC. All right, so today is New Comic Book Day. There's new comic books coming out, if you couldn't guess by the New Comic Book Day thing. And I want to talk about a couple that I'll be picking up today. First up is Feast or Famine from Alterna Comics. It's Dave Schwartz and Joseph Cooper. And this is a dimension parallel to our own. World-renowned inventors Nikola Tesla and Dr. Albertine Stein, of course, Albert Einstein and Nikola Tesla, but in an alternate reality, have discovered a mysterious signal from deep within the cosmos. Believing it to be from an advanced alien race, the two embark on a journey that will change the very fabric of space and time. I find this really interesting. I just wanted to talk about this real quick, because there's like the Albert Einstein, oh god, Time Mason, I think it's called, that's coming out right now. Absolutely fantastic book. There's been, there's books in the recent past that I've read. One was, Edison teaming up with H.P. Lovecraft. I thought that was really fantastic. I can't remember the name of that one either. But there's been a lot of these books coming out of the last couple of years, and I find them really fascinating. And Alterna is a company that I don't talk about very often, but I think they do really, really good work over there. So definitely check this one out. Feast or Famine, number one. It's a 3-inch mini, and just like every other Alterna book, it's $1.50. So what are you doing, son? Get in on that. Klaus and Crying Snowman, number one. Grant Morrison, Dan Mora. This is from Boom Studios, and it is a little more expensive. It is the yearly Christmas Klaus special. It's $7.99, but it sounds awesome. So the best holiday tradition in comics returns in the next chapter of the epic Santa Saga by visionary Grant Morrison and Eisner Award nominated artist Dan Morrell. Klaus has to help an absentee dad turn snowman make amends before melting away for good, and probably before he's defeated by a pantheon of Norse gods and their minions, all in a day's work for Santa Claus. Of course, this is Grant Morrison, so he's going to have a wacky take on things, but I've really enjoyed all the Klaus books that have come out of the last few years, and this is going to be no exception, so definitely check out Klaus and Crying Snowman number one. Over to DC, Freedom Fighters number one, Robert Venditti, Eddie Burroughs, two people that I really admire. Venditti is a fantastic person. He's a great writer. Eddie Burroughs, I can't believe he's doing work at DC now. He was doing work at Marvel for a little while, but he comes from Avatar. He did, it's not a porn book. I almost said a porn book. The Crossed. He did that for quite a while. Fantastic artist. So I can't wait to see what he does with the Freedom Fighters. And, this is an alternate Earth. It's set on Earth X, where the Nazis won World War II, and it's Robert Venditti and Eddie Burroughs, and it's a 12-part series, and it sounds freaking awesome, so I can't wait to read this one. Freedom Fighters number one from DC Comics. On over to Image, Hardcore number one, Andy Diggle, Alessandro Vitti, Dan Pinotian, Adriana Lucas, great creative team. I don't like the name of the book based on the synopsis, so let me get to that. Imagine being able to take over the body of anyone on Earth. Sound crazy? Not for Agent Drake and the Hardcore program. They can turn any person into a human drone to get the targets that normal soldiers can't. Drake is the best soldier Hardcore has to offer. But when he gets stranded in a body with only 72 hours to discover who's hijacked the program, he'll have to pull out all the stops against an enemy who could literally be anyone. This sounds freaking awesome. It reminds me of that show Dollhouse that came out on Fox, I wanted to say a couple years ago, but that's probably been like at least 5 years, if not more. Really interesting idea. That was a little more, I'm assuming there's tech in here. In that show, you had basically people whose brains were wiped and they were used to like implant personalities into them. So they could become like, you know, a hooker, or they could become a spy, or, you know, a love interest for a politician or whatever. They were used for different missions. And sometimes nothing like too fancy, right? Sometimes just to accompany somebody to like the Academy Awards. But it was cool, and this kind of reminds me of that. It is kind of, I think it was created by Kirkman and Mark Silvestri, but Andy Diggle's the one writing it, so really looking forward to this one. Hardcore number one from Image Comics. Also from Image, Middle West number two, and I gotta put this in there, man, because I was so excited for the first issue. And as I've said before, I've never been a huge Scotty Young fan, but there was something about this first issue of Middle West that really got me on, so I will be picking up issue two. That's Scotty Young writing, Jorge Corona on art, Mike Huddleston on the assist. Really, really fantastic stuff. Beautiful artwork. And I haven't talked about Valiant for a while, but Livewire number one comes out today. Vida Ayala, whose work I've really enjoyed over at Vault, for example, she's doing Submerged, a really fantastic book. Art by Raul Allen and Patricia Martin. New ongoing series featuring Livewire, whom I've wanted to have an ongoing series for years and years and years. So I'm glad that Valiant is finally doing it. Looking forward to seeing how this one goes. We haven't seen, I've been a Valiant fan for a long time, and we've never seen like a true solo story. So I'm looking forward to seeing how they handle this character on her own. She's always been part of a team in one way or another. And really fascinating character, so looking forward to seeing how this one pans out. That is Livewire number one from Valiant Comics. And that is going to wrap up this episode of Comic Talk Today. Thank you all for your continued support of the show. Thank you for listening. I will be back tomorrow, for real this time, tomorrow, Throwback Thursday, talking about Prime, just so you know. Catch you then.